Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Give attention to God's word. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and, praising God with a loud voice, he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." May God bless his word to us this morning. Thankfulness. The theme of the week, isn't it? Relatively straightforward concept. We get a holiday dedicated to it every year, sermons around that time to talk about it, but still it seems a challenging subject for us. One that's often uncomfortable, unnatural, hard to live out. And yet one of vital importance. Have you ever thought through the scriptures that talk about giving thanks and the place it holds in God's word? For example, Philippians chapter 4. There, Paul says that thankful prayer is the key to overcoming worry and stress. So if you find yourself struggling with worry, perhaps going back to thankfulness and thanksgiving. Or how about Romans 1? There is a powerful passage where Paul is laying out the fallenness and the ugliness of this depraved world and the people in it. And he names one of the key top-of-the-list symptoms of depravity and wickedness and fallenness and rebellion. It's a lack of thanksgiving. So if you struggle with sin and fallenness, the thing to do, God says, is go back to thanksgiving. Or what about Revelation 4 or Revelation 11? There you get these scenes of the heavenly throne room. What is going on in heaven day after day for all eternity, but those surrounding the throne giving thanks to God, the scriptures say. So if you find yourself desiring to be a part of that heavenly celebration, to be in heaven and to know what it's like and want to be there and get ready for it, well, then we need to go back to thankfulness. But what exactly is it? And how do we live it out? Well, here is a short passage from Luke's gospel that gives us a little window into what thankfulness is as we learn about this one leper who goes to thanksgiving. And we'll mention several different things from our passage about what it is and how to live it out. And the first thing, and really the foundational aspect of thankfulness, is that thanksgiving is grounded in grace. Is grounded in grace. Here you have Jesus toward the end of his earthly ministry. He's on his way to Jerusalem, of course, there to be betrayed and die according to plan, he says again and again in Luke's gospel. And there he is on the way. He's met by these 10 lepers and they cry out to him. And you notice what their cry is. "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Have mercy on us. Not, "Jesus, give us what we deserve," but have mercy. Grant us what we don't deserve. And there seems to be, even in their wording, an indication that they had some understanding, some grasp on the fact that if Jesus were to help them, it would be a gift. It would be mercy. it would be all of grace. Perhaps it was their physical situation, their station in life in that Old Testament system that pointed the way to their spiritual state. That was what the Old Testament law was designed to do. Leprosy, you might remember from our study in Leviticus some months ago, years ago. Leprosy was one of those conditions in the ancient world, actually medically a number of different skin conditions. But if you had leprosy, it was an official ceremonial state that you would enter into. It made you unclean ceremonially. And what that meant was that it separated you from God and from others. From God, in that as one who was designated as ceremonially unclean, you couldn't go to the temple and worship. You'd be kept at a distance from the symbolic presence of God, but also alienated from others because that ceremonial state was contagious, as it were. And so you went around crying out, unclean, unclean, so that people could keep their distance, announcing that you were a leper so that they wouldn't become unclean too, which is exactly why Luke tells us that these lepers stood at a distance. They dare not come in that system close to Jesus, let alone touch him, because such a state was contagious. So what that picture in the Old Testament world showed is that here was something that you had that separated you from God in that symbolic sense and alienated you from others. It's a picture of who we are spiritually, all of us. We are the lepers. If you want to find yourself in the story, the lepers, that's you, that's me, that is who we are. Because of not a condition on the outside, but sin on the inside, right? What does that sin do? But it separates us from God, from His smiling grace now, and also separates us from Him for all eternity. And also alienates us from others, causes the brokenness and distance in relationship with others. And perhaps it was that that physical outward picture of this in these lepers' lives that had them getting the understanding that if Jesus were to heal, it would be of grace. It would be of grace. And so what is it that grounded the thanksgiving that would eventually come? It is grace. It is God's mercy. It is not His granting what is earned, His paying what is due, but God giving undeserved gifts to His people. There is ultimately what thanksgiving is. Thanksgiving is the logical response to God's mercy to the undeserving. And so that gives us then a part of the problem in the prescription that if you struggle with giving thanks, if you struggle with a thankful heart, with having a thankful heart, what you need to go back to is grace. What you need to go back to is God's mercy to you as an individual, rescuing you from sin and death, but also even the granting of every little good gift. That those are God's merciful, grace-given gifts. And here you see the connection with what we've been studying in Galatians. This is a perfect illustration of what Galatians is talking about, that our relationship with the Lord in matters of eternity and even matters of everyday life, well, it's got to be grace, not something we work for and earn. But there really is the problem. And I think part of the reason why we as a people struggle with being thankful truly is because grace doesn't always sink in. And sometimes it is in the everyday things. Because there can be a sense for most of us that there's a list somewhere in the back of our minds of things that we think that, well, I pretty much deserve these. I have a right to expect certain things from the world. How often do we tend to get into that mode of thinking? That as I walk through life, as I walk into a new week or a season of life, there are certain things that I can pretty much expect. I should expect. I have a right to certain things, don't I? I don't know what's on the list in the back of your head, but perhaps it's things like a measure of good health? Don't I have a right to expect at least some of that? Or a degree of leisure time? A certain amount of appreciation from those around me for the things that I do? I can expect that, can I? Don't I deserve that? Or a certain amount of interesting and fun food in the refrigerator? A satisfying job? Financial security? At least some. I have a right to that, don't I? A comfortable place to live? An adoring spouse? Healthy, respectful kids? Can I expect that of this coming week, of this coming life? Don't I have a right to those things? And you know that that's the mode you're falling into as soon as any of those things is taken away. Right? What is your response? If one of those items is taken away, either temporarily or maybe never given in the first place, how often is our response one of grumbling and complaining? Well, what does that complaint and that grumble show? It shows that deep down we think that God owes us that. And how dare He not give it? How dare He not give it? What we've lost is the element of grace in that moment. It's pretty much a truism that you will not be thankful for those things you feel like you have a right to. You will not be thankful for those things you feel like you should expect from God, like God owes you. You will not be thankful for those things. It's just God paying the bills, God giving you what you are owed. So there's also the glorious solution. It's grace. It's going back to that that understanding that what God gives, the gifts He gives, are undeserved. And we'll get that picture here at the Lord's table. Wonderful timing in God's providence to enter into a Thanksgiving week beginning at the Lord's table. Because what do we get here? Well, we get the price of grace. That in order for God to draw us to Himself, in order for Him to wash us clean and give us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, in addition to all the temporary blessings, we see the price is the Son of God Himself, His body broken, His blood poured out. It costs that much. We are that undeserving. We'll get that here at the table as we come and fellowship with the crucified Christ. It'll be a powerful reminder that in reality, the only things we truly deserve are death and hell. But God has given us so much more besides. And He paid the price. Now, what a glorious reminder. And what that should fuel in us is a thankfulness. All of grace. And He's given it again and again and again. There's the foundation. Thankfulness is grounded in grace. It sets us up to go into the rest of the passage and the rest of our points a little more quickly. Secondly, thankfulness goes against the grain. One of the elements that Jesus remarks on is that there's only one of these individuals who comes back and gives thanks. The story continues. Lord, right? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And then we read that Jesus heals them. They are sent away and to show themselves to the priests. Of course, that was the Old Testament system. That was how they could be declared clean, restored to officially to fellowship there in the temple and symbolically with the Lord and restored to right relationship with others. The priests had to declare it, so Jesus sending them off. And along the way, they are healed. And then we read verse 15, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He fell on his feet, his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus asked the logical question. Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Now, were there not 10 who were healed? Yeah, only one. And the most unlikely one, the one who is, spiritually speaking, the furthest away. Samaritans were those who had intermarried generations back with the people who were brought into the land. And so they're really kind of only half children of Abraham. And theologically, they had abandoned the good doctrine of the Old Testament and gone astray. And so spiritually speaking, they're the furthest off, the most unlikely. Yet that individual, the only one of the ten who comes back and offers praise to God and thanksgiving to Jesus. But there is a picture of what thankfulness is and what we can expect. It is a rare commodity. It goes against the grain. How many people do you know who are truly thankful? That you go into work and interact with other people. How many coworkers aren't going to complain about the boss or just grumble about their work or their coworkers? They're just going to express thanksgiving that they have a job that sustains them. How many neighbors do you know and talk to who don't take every advantage to complain about the weather or their spouse or their kids or in all the TV commercials and advertisements that bombard our mailboxes this time of year? How many ads give the message of, you have been given so much, you really don't need anything more? Right? It's not what our world speaks forth. Thankfulness goes against the grain. It is not the norm at all, which means that as believers, we will be battling upstream. An uphill battle where we'll get very little encouragement from the world around us. We will stand out. We will stand out. So thankfulness is grounded in grace. It goes against the grain. It gets specific. This is perhaps a small point, but I think a significant one, that you have this thankful leper going specifically to Jesus to thank him specifically for the blessing he was granted. Now, that's what thanksgiving is, thankfulness is. It's specifically offering thanks for a specific blessing. Sometimes we can assume that thankfulness is just a general state of being. You don't complain, or you're just generally content. Well, that might be part of it, but thankfulness in the truest sense gets very specific. It is going and thanking God for the specific blessings in your life. It is like the leper who goes to Jesus and thanks him for this particular mercy that the Lord has granted to him. Here's an interesting assignment for the week ahead, right? I trust that somewhere along the week you'll have a little extra time off. Maybe just give yourself 15 minutes. Maybe you whip out your phone, you put on the timer, and 15 minutes... and you get out a pen and paper, or maybe you tap away on your computer, and you try to list as many as possible in 15 minutes, as many specific blessings that the Lord has granted to you. And you just go for it. You just type away. You just scribble away. Maybe you go through it in categories, like we did in our prayer this morning, and you go categories of family and church and material blessings and spiritual blessings, or wherever you choose to do it, maybe just stream of consciousness. You just try to see as many things as you can list in 15 minutes. And then you take that list, and you go to God in prayer, and you specifically thank him for those blessings. The times when I have done that, it's been a pretty powerful exercise to see how much you can come up with and still not exhaust the well at all. There is a powerful way to remind ourselves really what thanksgiving is to be. The specifics from the gift of the Lord Jesus and every aspect of our salvation to the comfort of your warm bed. God has given you specific things that we can be specifically thankful for. And related to that, thankfulness goes to God. And that's what this leper lives out for us, that he doesn't just express it in his heart in a vague way, but he actually goes to the Father in verbal praise and to the Son bowing down before him. There's what thankfulness is. It's actually taking these things to the Lord himself. And giving thanks. It's actually, as it were, writing the thank you note and putting it in the mail. only to the Lord, the ultimate giver of good gifts. Perhaps your experience was like mine, that before you became a believer, you talked about things like luck. I know I did. I got lucky and got this good grade, or I got lucky and, you know, got this this opportunity and this neat thing, and then I became a Christian and started thinking about the whole idea of luck and realized, well, I guess that's really not very Christian thing to talk about. That's attributing the good things to chance or to lucky stars or something, and there is no chance in God's world, so maybe I shouldn't talk like that anymore. And so I got into the habit of just changing how I talked. Instead of saying, oh, I was so lucky for this, I would say things like, oh, I'm so thankful for, or praise God that. Perhaps you adjusted your language a bit as well. And that's good, but it's good to remember that true thankfulness is more than just talking differently. It's actually taking the details to the Lord, going to Him in prayer and saying, thank you. I didn't deserve this. I certainly didn't deserve that, but you gave it anyway. Take your list and bring it to the Lord. Well, finally, thankfulness gives evidence of faith. Jesus' final words in the passage, as this Samaritan, the most unlikely, the most far off, has come back, he says to him, verse 19, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Another beautiful tie-in with Galatians. Here is justification by faith lived out in pictures here in the Gospels. How is it that this leper was made well? He didn't earn it. He didn't do a bunch of good works, and that earned his way into healing. But Jesus said it was through faith in Jesus, he is transformed, just like Abraham of old, just like us, and how we're made right with the Lord. It is through faith in Christ alone. And his expression of thankfulness, it gives evidence, it bears testimony that God had worked this faith in his heart. It is our faith flowing out, and that is where it comes from. It begins with that work in our hearts that God does, which helps us as we walk away, perhaps walk away convicted that we're not as thankful as we should be, that we don't live out Thanksgiving the way we should. It's not a bad conviction. We need to do the right thing with it. How do we grow? It's not just that we try harder, but where does thankfulness really come from? Well, it flows out of faith in Christ. For this leper, it came out of his encounter with Jesus. It was his encounter with Jesus that changed everything and flowed out in a new life. And so it will be for us. Whether it's for the first time coming to Christ or as a believer, continuing our relationship with Him. Here at the Lord's table, we get a glorious opportunity. We have an encounter with Christ. And through His Spirit, Christ is present. We have fellowship with Christ. And here, encountering Jesus, like the leper encountered Him, only in a different form, we can expect that God will work on us. Jesus will work on us. He will enlighten our hearts into His grace and His mercy. He will empower our thanksgiving as we see Jesus and get those emblems of His love and mercy to us specifically. So as we transition to the Lord's table, see how the two are tied together. Here is God feeding your thankfulness by giving you what you ultimately need and giving you the ultimate gift, His Son Himself. We go to Jesus and are changed by it. Well, if that is what we need, and that is where we should go, well, let's look to Him first in prayer. Lord, we are thankful that You have given gifts undeserved. Lord, every blessing up and down our lives is a gift from You. And we want to thank You most specifically for Your Son. And that gift, Lord, which grants life and salvation. And we pray that we might know more of Him. That even coming to the Lord's table together, we might see, even touch and taste, Lord, those powerful reminders of your commitment to us and your blessings given in Him. We pray that it would build our faith and even strengthen our new life of thanksgiving. Lord, all for your glory. That is what you desire. That in giving all praise and honor to you, you might receive the glory in our lives and in your world, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's sing of the great gift that God has given as we sing 252. 252.